Welcome to Reading the Grid with Erin and Ina. Each week, we explore the stories behind books, movies, and shows that highlight the history of this dynamic sport. Buckle up for a fast-paced journey through Formula One. The Marina Bay Street Circuit is no ordinary racetrack. It's a grueling night race through the heart of the city where soaring heat, punishing humidity, and tight walls test both drivers and machines. Safety cars are almost a given, strategy is everything, and the margin for error is razor thin. The Singapore track shares a lot of firsts. It has been on the F1 calendar since 2008 and was the first night race as well as the first Asian street track. Also, one of the most interesting and biggest scandals in recent memory, Crashgate, took place on this track at the inaugural race.
This year, Singapore has even more weight on its shoulders. McLaren is on the brink of clinching the World's Constructors' Championship, needing only a handful of points to lock it in. Meanwhile, the Drivers' Championship battle is heating up. McLaren's drivers will be seeking redemption after their atrocious performance in Baku. Lando Norris loves this track, whereas Oscar Piastri's struggles on street circuits this year are causing some concerns. This is also the track where Red Bull has not been the strongest. In fact, in 2023, the most dominant year in recent memory, where Red Bull cars, mainly Max, won every race except one, this was the track where they did not win. Max Verstappen faces his toughest test as a superb performance in the third race in a row will force everyone to consider him as a realistic challenger to Lando's and Oscar's titles hopes. And of course, there is Ferrari. Although historically, this track has suited their car, Sainz was the driver who won the race from 2023, this year has presented a lot of challenges, some technical and some very personal.
Yes, we'll take a moment to acknowledge a poignant story from this week. Lewis Hamilton is entering the weekend after recently announcing the passing of his beloved bulldog Roscoe, who died in his arms following a health battle. The loss has resonated deeply across the paddock, and in the midst of intense competition, it's a reminder that behind every helmet is a human facing real emotion. I know that is going to factor into my predictions for the weekend. So, Ina, who do you have on pole for the Singapore Grand Prix?
Before I reveal who this is, I have to explain my reasoning because it's not rational. I think rationally, it has to be either Max or Lando. But irrationally, I'm going to go for the driver who said that he's going to be doing well in Monza, Baku, and Singapore. He's been 0-2, so this is the race that I'm giving him the last chance to do something amazing, memorable, and he needs a redemption from last race. And that's for the last time this season, unless he realizes my hopes, I'm putting Charles Leclerc on pole. Erin, who are you putting on pole?
I would have guessed Charles Leclerc before you even completed your explanation. I am honestly torn between Max and Lando, although for the sake of my household, that makes it very tricky since that's both boys' drivers. But since it's September and you and Patrick have birthdays, I'm going to go with Lando Norris.
You know who actually has a September birthday is Max Verstappen, so that would have made more sense.
That would make more sense, but I have to tell you, the way my brain has been not firing on all cylinders, I'm going to stick with Lando on pole.
Listen, it's 50-50 at this point, so good on you.
Ay, ay, ay.
All right, so for P3, ooh, this is a tough one. I lost all confidence in him being able to accomplish much on street tracks. And his best finish, I think, this year has been third. So that's where I put Oscar Piastri as P3.
That's a very smart move. That's actually where I was going to put him. So I'm going to have to move him because I am not actually keeping Lewis Hamilton P3. He is racing for Roscoe this week. Someone's going to put him higher.
Okay.
Well, I guess I will keep Hamilton at 3.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, I'll keep Hamilton at three, and I'll put Oscar P2.
Well, let the hopium train continue because I'm putting Leclerc for P2. Again, the last time I'm doing this year, unless he actually comes through or finishes higher. So he's going to be my P2. And for the winner, I'm going to go with Lando Norris.
Nice job. Okay. I really didn't think this through at all very well because I don't have Max on my podium.
Neither do I, but it's funny because he was second last year and he was actually, there was a huge gap between him and Lando Norris. And if you remember, Lando Norris kept hitting those walls. He made so many mistakes and still won by a huge margin. That's why I feel like this is the track where McLaren as a car will be better than it was in Baku. The team hopefully have learned their lessons and not going to screw up the pit stops anymore. And I just think that Lando will win. Now, obviously, I did not put Max on my podium, but realistically, he's definitely going to be on there. But I don't know if we've talked about this weird statistic, but since 2021, he's only been in P3 twice. He's either second or first, or he's not on the podium. So since I didn't want to put him P2 or P1, I put him off the podium.
Based on the stat, let's hope that holds. I am actually going to flip-flop mine, Lando P2, and then Oscar P1.
Sure. And I think either your
because
choices
I
or my
want to
choices.
make sure Lewis is on the podium.
Right.
And I'm good to keep Max off just because historically, Singapore has not been his best track. I don't need him to break that record this go round.
I was going to say, he has enough records. He can keep that one for a while.
He can keep that one, especially because we had Pope Leo bless Charles Leclerc's steering wheel. And with Lewis Hamilton, as we said, racing for Roscoe, where do you put Hamilton since you have Leclerc at two?
Now, realistically, you know he's not going to be two, but okay. Well, I'm putting him close because I honestly think both of them have a lot to prove just in general. And then, of course, Hamilton has more motivation to kind of pour his grief into something productive. So although I actually believe both of them will be lower than this, I'll give Hamilton P4. What about you?
So I have Hamilton 3. I'll put Leclerc 4. I usually have them back to back, which I think they were last year, even though different cars, literally different Ferrari, and Hamilton was still in Mercedes.
Yeah.
I think they will be back to back.
Okay. I think they will be just much lower than we think, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm completely off and I'm totally fine with it.
I feel like one of these weekends, the hopium has to track.
Oh no, Aaron, this is my last hopium. If something doesn't happen, if your predictions come true, it's still alive. If my predictions come true, oh, it's on. But you know, realistically, we're not going to get there. So I think this is the last weekend for the hopium for me.
Okay.
But I hope
well,
they prove me wrong.
Me too. Because again, this is still my rookie year for Ferrari. So
I only have what, one more year than you? Yay. But it wasn't that bad last time. So I mean, there were races where it was horrendous. But by this time last year, Ferrari was one, but as good as McLaren, and on some tracks, even better.
All right. We talked about Ferrari. What is your best of the rest prediction?
This is tough because I don't think Mercedes will be that great. And, you know, my standard predictions that Antonelli will do better than Russell, he did it in qualifying. I was going to carry him into the race, but I have a feeling Mercedes is not going to be that great. And when Mercedes is not great, Kimi Antonelli is just slides down. So I can't go with that. I'm going to put Ollie Bearman. Even though I don't think this is the track that Haas particularly is good at, I'm going to put him, he's going to make it into top 10. I don't think he'll qualify Q3, but I'm going to put him at P10, P9. That's where I think he'll end up. And I think that Hajar will out-qualify and outperform Lawson this weekend.
Oh, I hope so for Hadjar. That would be great.
What about you? What are your rest of the grid wild predictions?
I'm actually going to show some love to Pierre Gasly and put him P7 or higher.
Wow,
Yeah.
nice.
And Aston Martin. I'm going to put Fernando Alonso in the top 10. And then Williams. I'll put both drivers in the top 10.
Very ambitious, but
Yep.
I think doable.
And somewhere in there will be Max in the top
That's where
10.
I was going. Yep.
Somewhere in there will be Max. Part of Carlos Sainz's weekend was based off of his qualifying. And some, I think, was luck from this sticker from the really sweet little girl who asked him to name her Stuffy. I saw a meme where they had the whole livery of Williams like decked out in the stickers, just trying to channel all the luck that they could.
Obviously, we're not predicting them anywhere close to the podium, but it's possible that both of them could end up in the points. I mean, Albon deserves some redemption for sure.
Yes, I hope he does, even though Vals said they're not anticipating the car to do all that well in Singapore. I know the heat is such a factor.
It is. And the fact that hopefully that means the tires degrade faster gets them to actually do two stop, which is always more interesting, although of course gives Ferrari another opportunity to do something horrible. Not this time, not this time. But it also helps McLaren because their tire degradation is the best. So if that's a factor, no matter where they qualify, I think they'll end up at the top.
Well, let's hope, based on what we're predicting. We talked about Ferrari and all of our predictions. Let's spill the grid because there is a lot of off-track drama that has happened to dig into. A number of stories are surrounding Haas. They're making headlines about Christian Horner potentially being team principal next year. Thoughts?
It's team principal and CEO, right? So I don't know if he can live with just the CEO title, because technically that's what Zak Brown has, and he is more vocal than their team principal at McLaren. So that is possible, but there's so many things that have to happen in order for that to materialize. They risk losing Ayo Kamatsu, who is their current team principal, but also the great engineer and was part of the team that made this Haas team, although not this year, but ultimately performed better than it has in the recent memory. And so I think if they demote him, he'll probably leave. And then will Gene Haas actually sell a share or give a share to Christian Horner? I don't see it, but and I don't believe Christian Horner will ever join a team that won't give him an ownership stake. So is it completely preposterous? No. I do think there's a possibility, but I kind of feel bad for Pierre Gasly, because I think the last thing he needs is Christian Horner as a team principal based on his own experience at Red Bull.
Yeah, that didn't go too well the first go round for him. I guess we will wait and see. Romain Grosjean was supposed to get back into a Haas F1 car in Italy, which was his first time back since 2020.
I think that's very nice story and very good PR for Haas.
The George Russell contract negotiations are still underway. Apparently, he wants more money and less PR requirements.
I'm not shocked. And he's been carrying the load for PR even when he had Lewis as a teammate, because Lewis notoriously was very
Didn't
choosy.
Didn't want to have to do PR.
Which is fair, but I think, you know, he definitely, especially if he's not getting more money, then he definitely doesn't want to have as many commitments as he has now. So I get it, especially if he thinks that the length of the contract is not up for negotiation, that he has to have something to hold on to. So it's not surprising.
Yeah. One tidbit that I did not enjoy from this weekend was that Max has more points than a Ferrari than our actual team Ferrari. He continued to dabble in his World Endurance Championship races and won a GT3 race at the Nuremberg and has plans to compete in the 24 Hours of Nuremberg next year.
Yeah, so That the points total is not great. Also, the race that he won was in a Ferrari, so that's rubbing salt in the wound. But just to put it in perspective, that race was actually competing with 6 hour of Fuji, and so most of the endurance drivers of highest caliber were not there. I think there was only one driver who was close to the top. So it's still impressive, but it doesn't mean that, you know, he just stepped into a new series and now he became suddenly incredibly good. He practiced a lot on the sim. And so I think the more interesting aspect of this is, like, I can't believe that he has a race this week. So basically since Monza, he's been either getting his GT3 license or participating in a GT3 race. Like, he hasn't had a weekend off. And this weekend in Singapore, which he's never won. So either he's that confident or he's that confident he's not going to do that well. So at least he needs something to build him up.
I'm going to go with he's confident that he will not do all that well in Singapore. That way, all of the rest of our predictions can come true.
Fair.
And speaking of Ferrari, Fred Vasseur had an interview with Italian media, said that Ferrari is good on tracks that McLaren is good at, just not as good. Shocking. And is poor on tracks that McLaren is not good at.
Great. So they develop a car that is just not exceptional anywhere, whereas we have seen that other teams have cars that may be mediocre at some tracks, but really great at others, like Mercedes, because they've won. So we're not winning, huh? Because if the only tracks we are good at is the ones that McLaren good at, they have better car. See, my copium is just deflating as we speak.
Well, I'm holding on to something that I saw that said a paddock rumor had been strategically circulated by rival teams, talking about how Ferrari is significantly behind with their 2026 engine, which is not true, supposedly. So I'm hoping.
I mean, I'm hoping, but I honestly, I feel like that's also could be minimizing damage. Oh, sorry. I also think that they're trying to project an image of confidence, and obviously that they're on track doesn't mean that the rumors were not true. It's just they don't want to give them credence because then the doubts will set in. However, I do feel that Lewis Hamilton would not have switched to Ferrari without some assurances that the engine was on track for 2026, because it is extremely important. So that's the only thing that gives me hope.
I would agree with that, especially coming from Mercedes when they have such a strong engine.
Exactly.
Last but not least, Flavio Briatore. Would you like to talk about him in Crashgate and our other driver, Jack Doohan?
Well, I think Briatore finally remembered who's Jack Doohan's manager is, because suddenly he's in the conversation as a possible driver for the second Alpine seat. This man changes his mind every weekend, so I have no idea if this is even true.
I'm going to hope for Jack Doohan's sake and confidence that he gets another chance. If Liam can have as many chances in the seat and Franco Colapinto, why not let Jack have another go?
I just think Colapinto has more sponsors, or sponsors who are willing to pay more money. And at this point, that's kind of what shifts it in his favor. There's one more thing about Briatore. So he was very blunt, because he said he never considered bringing in Bottas. And apparently Perez did reach out, and Briatore said he couldn't offer him anything. Thoughts?
Well, I'm glad Cadillac was smart enough to pick up Bottas and Perez, and I hope they are just able to have Flavio Briatore eat his words.
I hope so too, and I think it's kind of interesting about Bottas, because next year, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're going to have a Mercedes engine. The only driver that they've considered, or that are available, who knows Mercedes engines, is Bottas.
It's Bottas.
So actually, which I find hilarious that so Perez also, I don't think, oh, maybe when he was in Racing Point and Force India, did they have Mercedes engines? I
I
don't
can't
remember.
remember that far back.
Yeah, but he's most familiar recently with Honda engines. So it's interesting that Cadillac, that's not going to use Mercedes engines, are actually hiring them to kind of learn as they go. But I guess they're good at adapting. Whereas none of the drivers, including Pierre Gasly, has ever worked with Mercedes engines. So Bottas could have been useful.
It could have been, but I'm glad he's still going to be on the grid. I did see a cute video between Antonelli interviewing Bottas, and he goes, I almost hate to ask you this fan question, but if you had to choose between the mullet or the mustache, which would you get rid of?
What did Bota
Bottas
say?
goes, none. And he said, all right, well, if I have to answer, I will go with the mustache because it'll grow back a heck of a lot quicker than the mullet.
That's a great answer.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. I'm looking forward to seeing Bottas's mustache and mullet and everyone else under the lights in Singapore.
Absolutely. So the Singapore Grand Prix is one of Formula One's ultimate tests. A nighttime street race that pushes drivers to their physical and mental limits. Although this track does not allow for a lot of overtakes, there are always safety cars and red flags to provide excitement and cause havoc. In fact, last year was the first year, I believe since 2008, that there was no safety car in the race. So that record better be on this time. It also has walls. And as we found out in Baku, there's always extra risk when one wrong move can send you into the wall and append your weekend entirely. With championships hanging in the balance, the pressure is rising and the drama is set to unfold under the light.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an update.
We'd also love to hear from you. Whether it's your thoughts on today's episode, your suggestions for F1 books, shows, or movies to explore, or a shout out to your treasured F1 pet. Connect with us on Instagram, YouTube, or X, or drop us an email at readingthegrid@gmail.com. We want your ideas to fuel this podcast, so don't be shy.
Thanks for joining us on Reading the Grid. Keep your engines running and your pages turning. Until next time.